Back with you, Mouth of the Midwest. Trent Condon here as we talk the world of sports with you. Chicago Bears fresh off a victory at home against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings up again here in just a couple weeks, a two-week break, a game in between, and then they'll be facing the Vikings up in, as Mike Ditka affectionately called it, the Roller Dome. That's still a couple weeks away. The Seahawks, though, in town this weekend. Every time we talk Bears, we love to bring in Jeff Hughes from the Bears blog, part of ChicagoNow.com, and he joins us here on Mouth of the Midwest. Jeff, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Trent. How are you?
Doing pretty well, and in good spirits, of course, after the Bears' victory over the weekend against the Vikings, 28-10. Looked outstanding early on. A couple breaks went their way and kind of cruised from there. We talk about the game that's going to be a short turnaround here in just a week after this Sunday against the Seahawks when they have to go up to Minneapolis and face the Vikings again. But some positives to take out of that, of course, most, though, people talking about getting Jay Cutler back. And it's just a huge, huge thing for this team, even as they bring in a veteran in Jason Campbell this year, to be able to go out there, get a guy like Jay Cutler and get him healthy. It's a must for this team, regardless of who the backup is.
Well, I mean, the numbers bear it out. I mean, when Jay Cutler plays four quarters for the Chicago Bears, they don't lose very often, especially in the last year and a half to 2 years. He was 7-3 last year when he went out. The three games he had lost, the Bears were all underdogs in. And this year, they're there again. He is, in the last two seasons, he has not lost a game. The Bears were favored in him in the last two seasons when he's played four quarters. I mean, that's a remarkable statistic. People talk about the Bears not having a big win this year, but in the NFL, it's almost just as important not to have a bad loss. And the Bears do not lose to inferior teams when Jay Cutler is the starting quarterback, and that's why they've been successful with him for the last couple of years.
Well, keeping him upright is the paramount of what's going to happen with this team going forward. Gabe Kareemi has struggled so much at right tackle this season, one of the worst right tackles in pass coverage this year. Jamarcus Webb, though playing better at times, still has his issues at times on the left side. And then you have the injuries, and of course the big one is the injury out for the season, Lance Lewis, and now another guy going to be brought in along the offensive line. But it sounds like Gabe Kareemi, for the first time in his career, might be making the move inside. He's a tall guy. He's a big guy, not your prototypical NFL guard. But that's where we might see him here going forward for the Bears.
Well, you're getting me at a good time for this because I spent the last 2 hours or so working on my Gabe Kareemi column for tomorrow. And, you know, Gabe Kareemi was the wild card this year, and the Bears drew a bad card. They could not go into this season with two bad tackles. They could go in with one, and you can slide scheme, you can slide protections, you can chip. And I think they expected when this season started that Kareemi would be solid on the right side and they'd have to help Webb. Kareemi's not just been bad at right tackle. He's been one of the two or three worst pass-protecting tackles in football. At times he's looked unathletic. His footwork has been terrible. His technique has been terrible. Now, on the good side, he's been a very good run blocker. And I think the Bears believe now with Lance Lewis, far and away their best offensive lineman this year. With Lance Lewis going out, they think that Kareemi can use the run-blocking acumen inside, and maybe they can hide some of that technique and footwork that plagued them on the outside. That's a tall order for the Bears to ask here. This guy's never played guard, and it's not as easy. I think the fans have a perspective of, hey, you just slide him inside and go ahead and play. It's the equivalent of taking a wide receiver and moving them to tight end. It is an entirely different vocabulary for the man to learn in what is essentially a week. So it'll be a wait-and-see approach on Kareemi, but I'll say this. If he succeeds at guard and he seems to work there, and it's worked in the past. Robert Gallery was never a great guard, but the Raiders moved him inside early in his career. He played there 4 or 5 years. If Kareemi can be successful at guard and Lewis comes back healthy, the Bears could have a couple of really good guards moving forward, and then they just have to solve the tackle position.
Talking Bears football here with Jeff Hughes from the Bears blog, part of ChicagoNow.com. And you go through that, of course, the mention of the injury to Lance Lewis playing at a high level this season. And as you said, definitely playing the best out of any of the offensive linemen this year. So where they go forward with that, the new player brought in along with it. And secondly with that, Jared Allen, you know, I've been surrounded by Vikings fans my whole life. I grew up 10 minutes away from the Minnesota border is about the only Bears fan up there. So I've always had a disdain for the Vikings, and Jared Allen has thrown that in there. What are Bears fans over there saying about that? What are they saying on your blog about Jared Allen? He's kind of a hot rod. I mean, he's doing his stupid sack dance and all those things along with it. But dirty play in your mind?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this. Jared Allen, I think Jay Cutler said it very well yesterday afternoon. Jared Allen is not a dirty player. He doesn't have a track record of being a dirty player. He's one of the best defensive ends in football, and he's one of those players that you just hate him when he's not on your team. There's a lot of those guys in the league. I think Detroit Lions fans probably love Ndamukong Suh. No one else does. The thing about that play is it's unnecessary. It is basically blocking a defenseless lineman. He launched up into his head. It's very similar. It's almost eerily similar to the hit on Cutler a few weeks ago. And it's funny that a lot of Bears fans came out of that almost hoping that Lewis had a concussion. But, you know, Jared Allen, to do something like that to a guy in this league, when these guys are supposed to be a union, they're supposed to be together. They're trying to protect each other. You've got 2,000 players suing the league for not helping them out on concussions. And then to have a defensive lineman launch into a man's head on the field and end his season in what was going to be a very lucrative year for Lance Lewis. He was about to have an extension signed, I would have think, in the next 6 weeks or so. They were working on it behind the scenes. That's all been stalled now. It's a terrible play for Jared Allen, and I wish some of these players who do this stuff would just come out after the game and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I did this. It was the heat of the moment. But no, they all try to backtrack around it and talk their way out of the hits, and it's going to make this game dangerous for a long time until it stops.
Brandon Marshall goes over 1,000 yards on the season. In fact, he told Jay Cutler on the sideline that he was over 1,000, and I'm sure Cutler had something fun to say to him after he mentioned that. But overall, you know, he's been as advertised, if not better, for the Bears this season. But the injury again, a different one now to Jeffery. How much concern are there if there is a game, and we've seen it before, where he is absolutely shut down, be it against a great cornerback team, just doing the right thing to slow him down? How concerned are you that could crop up in a playoff game and suddenly the Bears aren't able to move the football?
Well, I mean, someone asked me the other day, they said, well, does the Bears offense have an identity? And I said, of course it does. The identity is Jay Cutler drops back and throws the ball to Brandon Marshall every single play. And if Brandon Marshall is unavailable, he looks for somebody else. He even admitted it on his show yesterday. Jay admitted he doesn't care if he's the first read. He doesn't care if he's double-teamed. He threw to Brandon Marshall on Sunday with four defenders around him. It's actually something I've never seen before in a football game. If they take Brandon Marshall away from this offense, I don't know what the offense is. They have not been consistent enough running the ball or successful enough running the ball to be a team that can run for 250 or 300 yards and control the clock. Alshon Jeffery being out means they have to see someone else step up at wide receiver. Devin Hester won't be there this week, for instance. The tight ends aren't good enough for that. Earl Bennett's become more of a slot third down guy. We don't know what Eric Weems can do at wide receiver. I would probably guess very little. So if Brandon Marshall is shut down, if a team decides they're going to take him completely out of the game, I think the Bears will struggle to move the ball, and they have struggled when that's happened, especially if Matt Forte is hampered in any way. Now, the Bears should be scheming around that. The Bears should have a screen game, an active screen game. They should be rolling out Jay Cutler. They should be moving it. They should have some easy throws into this offense. They're not doing those things. Started to see a few more of them last week, and you hope that Tice will continue to improve. But if they take Brandon Marshall away from this offense, there's just not much of an offense left.
Jeff, Seattle this weekend comes in. We know about their obvious issues as they go on the road. Great at home this season, but last week the loss to Miami, a game that they went up 21-14 and then let that lead slip away against Ryan Tannehill. Ooh, you can't feel good about that if you're a Seahawks fan. But you take a look at this. This is a team walking wounded, certainly. Forte practiced today, but Pina Tillman, he's been sidelined along with Lance Briggs, a host of other players out there that are injured right now. Is it kind of one of those things now, you try to get healthy and find any way just to pick up the victories that you can along the way?
Absolutely. I mean, they're going to be banged up here probably down the stretch. The thing about Seattle, when I was studying their splits this week, there was some remarkable stats, and mostly the quarterback. Russell Wilson has 126-plus quarterback rating at home, to 75 on the road. He's got zero interceptions at home. He's got 8 on the road. He's an entirely different player, and they're an entirely different team away from that building. I think they're points differential is something like plus 50 at home and minus 40. It's wild. This Bears team should win Sunday. They should win Sunday because the Seattle Seahawks should not be able to score enough or move the ball enough to beat them. But I think the Bears should be very, very careful not to underestimate how good this Seahawks defense is and how good their pass rush and their front seven is. This is a front seven that manhandled the Green Bay Packers in prime time. That game is remembered for other reasons, but the first half of that game was the biggest beating Aaron Rodgers has ever taken in his career. If the Bears don't focus the way they focused a week ago on shoring up this offensive line, Jay will take another beating. And with a quarterback with a concussion history, I'm not sure how many beatings he can take. So the Bears need to be focused on Sunday. They need to be aware that this is a very good team, even if they don't win on the road. Now also, two of Pete Carroll's six road wins are at Soldier Field. So this is a Seahawks team that absolutely can win Sunday. And the Bears need to be on their game.
It's ChicagoNow.com. It's the Bears blog, and it's Jeff Hughes here on Mouth of the Midwest. Jeff, as always, great talking to you. Bear down this weekend, and let's get a victory over the Seahawks.
Thanks as always, Trent.
That's Jeff Hughes again, ChicagoNow.com and the Bears blog. We continue on more of the Mouth of the Midwest right after this.